With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. We welcome you in to the Tuesday night edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA. Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy once again coming to you taped from our hotel room here in St. Pete Beach, St. Petersburg, Florida, after the second day of practice of the East-West Shrine Game, the first real appearance of the draft all-star games as we get this thing going towards the draft in May.
Yeah, and this one was after a really wet Monday. It was a beautiful day here in St. Petersburg on Tuesday. It was two great practices where the weather was not a factor, although the playing surface was a little slippery. Still, it was a great day out there. Both teams got after it a little bit, and just another great day for football.
But apparently, friend, we may be in the wrong place. We may be at the wrong All-Star game. Eagles head coach Chip Kelly making an appearance apparently at the NFLPA Bowl in California after he was on hand at the national championship game in Texas last night.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Look, there's some interesting guys out there too. So there's talent everywhere. You got no stones left unturned.
I guess the rest of the Eagles personnel department is here. So Chip's getting his eyes where he can. What did you make of the national championship game last night? I know we both predicted Oregon would win. What did you make of how the game turned out?
Well, obviously, I said that they would win comfortably, and it went the other way. You know,
do I get like partial credit for saying that I thought it was going to be close?
You do get some partial credit, I suppose. But
just
look,
comparatively speaking,
comparatively speaking, look, Ohio State had a number of turnovers, and it was still the final score was still very much in favor of the Buckeyes. The big thing that I just did not see coming was the dominant performance from the Ohio State offensive line against that Oregon defensive front. There's a ton of young talent on that Oregon defensive line. I just didn't see them being able to generate that kind of push down after down after down. And they were able to do that, and that was a huge factor in them winning the game.
So now that we've gotten 2 days under our belts here at the Shrine game.
I can't believe, by the way, that this is the final one that we're doing from St. Petersburg. It's flown by.
It has flown by as you once again sit on the Murphy bed. Right. And don't forget to go back and listen to the first edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast last night. We set the scene for what we believe the Eagles will be interested in the draft. But now that we've gotten 2 days under our belt, Fran, do you feel like you are back with family? Because, you know, this is your third time going through the Shrine and Senior Bowl weeks. My fifth Senior Bowl coming up.
Fifth Senior Bowl.
Third Shrine game. Yeah. But we've talked about off camera the cast of characters that we expect to see. Do you feel happy to see the fake Josh Norris out there? The pasty white legs of some of the internet scouts that we know so well?
Well, you know, a lot of these guys are from up north, and it's been a few cold months. So, you know, you come down to St. Petersburg, these guys are wearing shorts. I'm one of them. Luckily, I'm tan most of the year round. Our friend Tony Pauline is typically tan. I can imagine him jogging around Western New York.
Tony in his dad jeans.
Yes, in his dad's jeans. But, you know, I think that it's always great to see the cast of characters that we do get to see. You know, you roll into that first practice and you see some of these guys that we see year in, year out. Without fail, and it's always.
Do you feel like, for instance, the fake Josh Norris got a haircut this year? I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, the hair wasn't sticking out of the back of the hat. I don't think I've ever talked with Josh about this, but before we ever met Josh in person, it was at our first I believe it was my first Senior Bowl. We were walking around trying to see who could be Josh Norris before we went up and said, "Hey, I'm Fran. Hey, I'm Bo." And there was a guy who stood out that we were hoping wasn't Josh just because he looked a little
– he looked a little bit like him, like based on – because, you know, all we had seen was Josh's, like, Twitter picture.
A little thumbnail. All right. And so, you know, this guy, he didn't look like the most pleasant person. So going up to him wouldn't have been a thrill.
All right. Well, let's get going here. Let's start talking about some of the action that we've seen, some of the stuff that's going on around the draft world. It's time for Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, obviously the big buzz surrounding the national championship game. We talked a little bit about that, friend. But, you know, the The deadline for junior and underclassmen declarations is coming up. We've got a few of those to talk about. How about Notre Dame tackle Ronnie Stanley announcing that he will be staying at Notre Dame?
Which was a big look. This story had gone back and forth whether or not he was going to stay or go in the media. A lot of people assumed that he was going to stay, but there were still, look, I mean, this kid was probably going to be a top 10, top 15 pick. I haven't studied him because, you know, I usually don't touch the juniors until
let's not talk too much about the underclassmen.
Exactly. But this
kid. How does
it
shake out for the rest of the draft?
The big thing is, look, it's another guy who potentially could have gone top 15 before the Eagles picked that could have pushed another player down the ladder. So, you know, it will affect the Eagles one way or another. We'll see how it ultimately shakes out. But Stanley, by all accounts, will be one of the best prospects heading into the 2016 draft season, which will be here before we know it.
And in terms of the general depth of the tackle class, that's a blow, and so is the announcement that Texas A&M tackle Cedric Abui, am I pronouncing that right?
That's Abui, right. That's correct.
Suffered a torn ACL. Thank you very much. I'm working on it. Suffered a torn ACL in the bowl game. Obviously, that'll hurt his draft stock. Coming into the season, he was considered a first-round pick as well. I think his stock has slipped a little bit. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people really looked at this guy as one of the more athletic players at the position. You look at a guy like a Tyron Smith. He was a guard 2 years ago. He shifted to right tackle last year in 2013.
Abui, then
moved to left tackle for 2014. So he's got positional versatility. He's got that natural athleticism to get in space and make plays on the move. He's got great feet. You know, so that he's got these tools that you can work with, but his big issue, he's consistently let defensive linemen into his pads, was allowing them to control the action, and his 2014 season was very up and down. I was not crazy about his 2013 tape to begin with, so, you know, to say that he would have been a top 10 pick, I don't know, but obviously this will affect where he gets drafted. Now it'll be interesting. Look, you saw a year ago, Brandon Thomas, the offensive lineman out of Clemson, he tore his ACL in a workout in the spring, working out, I believe it was for the New Orleans Saints, and he ended up going in the third round. A lot of people thought that he would go earlier. But on the same token, you have Florida defensive tackle Dominique Easley a year ago. He tore his ACL around the same time that Cedric Abui did. I think it was a little bit earlier in the season. He still ended up going in the end of round one. So I think that this ultimately won't affect it too much. I think he's still going to end up going where teams imagine he's going to go. Or reportedly, he's going to be ready for training camp next year. We'll see how that shakes out. But Abui, one of the more talented tackles. And what I still think up top, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again, I think it's a very strong group of tackles in this class.
Who's your top tackle at the moment?
Brandon Scherff, the kid from Iowa, was the, you know, going into the season, was the best senior that I watched. If you liked Greg Robinson a year ago, if you liked Zach Martin a year ago, then I think you'll like Brandon Scherff. One of those big kids who can, he's not an A-plus athlete. He's not going to test like Greg Robinson did, but just really gets after it in the run game, plays, at a very high level with good technique. You know, just one of those Iowa tough guys coming out of the Big Ten that you really, really like. I really liked what I saw from Brandon Scherff.
All right, let's talk about a couple of players who did declare for the draft, underclassmen. Pair of defensive tackles. First, Florida State's Eddie Goldman. What can you tell me about the Gold Man?
The Gold Man. Well, Tony Pauline put me onto this kid a few weeks ago that he was going to declare. So not really a huge surprise that the announcement came out that he was going to declare today.
Say what you will about Tony Pauline, and certainly I do all day long, every day. But the man is plugged in when it comes to declarations.
There's no question. I mean, like I said, a lot of these guys that are making these declarations now, Tony was saying it on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast back in early November. So he is the go-to guy for draft information, especially this time of year when these announcements start coming out. But Goldman, 6'3", 305 pounds, known as probably as best as a run defender, showed the ability to get into opposing backfields. I'm excited to study him closely. Like I said, I don't really touch on juniors until they make it official, so we'll kind of get into Goldman more as we get through the process here. But definitely one of the most one of those intriguing underclassmen defensive tackles.
All right, how about Ellis McCarthy from UCLA, another defensive tackle?
Well, you remember yesterday we talked about Eric Kendricks and that talented UCLA front seven. McCarthy is a part of that front seven, and he's 6'3", 330 pounds, could play in a number of different schemes because of that size. I'm excited to try and jump into this tape a little bit more. Look, this is just adding to this defensive line class that really just has a ton of talent. When you look at guys like Leonard Williams, who's declared for the draft, a lot of other names over the last couple of weeks have started to leak out. You've got Jordan Phillips from Oklahoma, Roy Phelan from Arkansas declared, the kid Christian Covington from Rice declared. It's going to be a really strong defensive line class as well, and McCarthy is just another name to add to that list.
All right, well, that's going to do it for Draft Buzz. Let's turn our attention now to what went on today at the East-West Shrine Game. It's time for Mr. Relevant with Tony Pauline as he and I talk about some of the players who stood out to him on Tuesday.
Time to go out on a high note. It's time for Mr. Relevant.
Well, we are here with NFL draft expert Tony Pauline, Disney enthusiast, former Olympic long jump hopeful. And Tony, let's talk about day two of the East-West Shrine Game here in St. Petersburg. Five players who impressed you. We'll start with the East team. Tackle from Kentucky, Darian Miller, an interesting body type, athletic. He's had a good day.
A lot of people think he's going to be an offensive guard at the next level, but he hasn't disproven that he can't handle the left tackle duties here. I mean, he's got terrific footwork. He plays with solid fundamentals. Really stood up. His bigger teammate is Za'Darius Smith on a couple of occasions today. So I think that Darian Miller's really helped his draft stock, and people are starting to think, hey, maybe he can stay at the left tackle position in the NFL.
This is considered a pretty deep group of running backs for the draft class. Two players from LSU here at the Shrine Game, both pretty good. Kenny Hilliard is the bigger of the two. You think he had a very good day?
Outstanding day. I mean, an overall day. He wasn't just pounding it on the inside. He was running with great instincts and vision. He was patient. You got to remember, he's only played with these offensive linemen for 2 days. He was waiting for the lanes to develop, show the burst to him, and it was very good catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think overall, it was a terrific day for Hilliard.
Pass protection as well. We saw that in a couple of drills, too. One of my favorite players, and again, what do I know? Nothing like you, Tony, but one of the guys who's jumped out to me, Xavier Williams, the defensive tackle from Northern Iowa, very strong.
You know, everybody talks about David Johnson, the running back from Northern Iowa, but I think Xavier Williams has really established himself as a legitimate prospect here. He's got a great build, a thick lower body for the defensive lineman, showed some great power, ran over a number of blockers today in drills, did well in the scrimmage. I think he's really put his name on the map as a potential late-round pick and a good developmental prospect.
Tell me about Kansas linebacker Ben Heaney.
Yeah, very athletic. I talked with Heaney. He's been used on the strong side here at the Shrine Game. He never played that. He was basically an inside middle linebacker at Kansas, which is a terrible program, but his athleticism was what stands out. The ability to change direction and chase the action with speed to every angle. I think Heaney's really helped himself.
Finally, a wide receiver, a late addition to the week, Deron Brown from Northern Illinois.
And a guy who really wasn't even scouted coming into the year, was not on any of the sheets. Brown was terrific today. He ran crisp routes, separated from opponents, caught everything that was thrown to him, made a number of acrobatic receptions that we saw laying out and extending to grab the ball out of the air. And the quarterback play here leaves a lot to be desired. And he's really done a good job. Want to see what he runs in the 40. Don't know if he gets a combine invite, but even at his pro day, if he runs a good 40, Brown is the guy who's come here, established himself as a legitimate prospect, could move into the late rounds, maybe even earlier with the weakness at the receiver class this year.
Now, again, just to reset for Eagles fans who might be tuning in for the first time, when we talk about these players, we're talking mid to late rounds, right?
Yeah, there's maybe one or two third-round players here at the Shrine Game. Most of these guys are at best fourth-rounders, but likely fifth, sixth, seventh-rounders. Late-round guys, guys that are maybe your slot receivers, your fourth receiver, maybe a starting guard down the road, a depth player. Not too many starters, not too many top 100 picks here at all.
All right, good stuff from Tony once again. And Fran, you know this happens every year. This is like part of the fun of coming to these games is somebody will catch your eye. And you'll sort of fall for him. It's not love at first sight, but you start to.
It's love at first sight.
When it's love at first couple, it's not just him. Maybe Blake Bell was love at first sight because he filled out the jersey well. But the guy who Tony just talked about, Xavier Williams, had to see a few reps, but he might be my guy. Last year for me was Shaq Richardson here at the Shrine Game.
Yeah.
I think Xavier Williams might be my guy this year.
Yeah, and he deserves to be your guy because he's played really, really well down here. The first 2 days of practice, he's been one of the stronger defensive linemen on either side of the line, of the field. He's been a pleasure to watch, a guy that I knew nothing about coming into the experience.
All right, we'll touch on that a little bit later in our pick six segment, but for now, we actually had a chance to catch up with my current draft crush, Northern Iowa defensive tackle Xavier Williams. This is our unofficial visit.
the unofficial visit.
All right, we're here with Xavier Williams, Northern Iowa defensive lineman. And Xavier, what has the week been like for you so far trying to prove that you can hang at this level?
I mean, it's been fun. Nice competition. I think I've been doing okay. Still got to get better. Still got to show, like, you know, represent for small school guys. And I'll let them know football's football. So,
what are the biggest challenges for you this week? I'm sure that conditioning is a part of it, too, because you haven't really been in football shape playing football for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the conditioning, like today, day two is a lot harder, obviously, than day one. You can feel a little better, but, you know, once you start getting into a flow, kind of got easier towards the end of practice, really. So, just got to keep moving. Just got to keep trying to pound away at it.
For fans who have never seen you play, tell us the scouting report on what you bring to the table, your strengths, your weaknesses.
Big guy, athletic, versatile, can play 4-3, 3-4. Good, probably more of a run support kind of guy, can push the pocket.
Do you have a preference in terms of 3-4 versus 4-3?
No, I like them both equally, honestly.
When you go to bed dreaming at night about making a play, is it sacking the quarterback or is it making a stop in the backfield on 4th-and-1?
I mean, I think everybody thinks about sacking a quarterback. You see who's getting paid. It's not the guys making tackles for loss.
That's fair. That's a good point. Now, you also are a big special teams guy. I think 5 block kicks in one season. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So tell us about the importance of special teams for you.
I mean, you know, our coach always stressed, like, you can always tell how determined a team is by how hard they go on special teams. And I think sometimes it's deflating. A lot of guys get momentum. A lot of people don't think much about the PAT. But, like, let's say you're up, the team drives the field on you. They think, oh, we got a chance to get a comeback. You block that PAT. A lot of times that kind of takes a little wind out of their sails. So, I mean, it's a big part, I think, more for morality than anything else.
Now, I tried to do my homework. I think you've also got a background in wrestling. Is that true also?
Oh, yeah.
How does that help as a lineman?
Great leverage and feet. I mean, because when you wrestle, it makes you have to think about your whole body, total body control, know where everything is at all times. So it helps in pass rush, make sure you're not just flailing out there, basically. So it helps with the concentration.
More about this week. Who's been the toughest guy for you to go against so far?
I don't know his name. Guard from Florida State. Big, fast, can move. Yeah, okay. He can move.
So for you, is it a bigger guy you feel like you have leverage on him, or would you rather face a smaller guy and overpower him?
Probably bigger with leverage. That'll probably be the best, because, I mean, with leverage you can do everything, you know. You can only overpower somebody so much before they start just catching on.
All right, well, Xavier, best of luck. Any expectations for the combine? Are you going to put up any big numbers for us to look out for?
I'm just going to do the best I can. That's all I can say.
All right, best of luck, Xavier. Maybe one day we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Thank you.
All right.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
All right, Pick 6, of course, where we will pick 6 things based on the category. And today's category is a little bit something we teased earlier about Xavier Williams. 6 players who you knew nothing about before coming here to the Shrine Game who have stood out to you. Now, for you and me, it's a little different. Obviously, you've watched most of these guys on tape. I watched a few of them on tape with you leading up to the Shrine Game, but I also I had to print out their bios just so I knew stuff about them, get some while we talk about your database, your impressive database, my laptop bag is filled with, like, way too many printed out pieces.
Your laptop
of paper.
Bag was heavier than my luggage coming down here because of the amount of paper that resided inside.
Go green. All right. But so some of these guys, you know, I read about their bios, but I knew nothing about the way they play. So let's talk about our guys. Another maybe mini draft crush for me here so far. I'm going to go my number one guy, Kentucky tackle Darian Miller. We talked a little bit about him yesterday on the podcast, I think. He's 6'5", 290, pretty athletic. He's done a good job from what I've seen holding up at the point of attack, especially in the run game, which is what I was looking towards because he's got a very slight lower body. And I guess that's a question for scouts that I can't answer. When you see a guy with skinny legs, do you think that he is going to be able to put on pounds, be able to have a heavier base, or do you think that that's sort of something that's never going to change? That's a question I can't answer.
Yeah, there are guys that are above my pay grade that that can answer those questions better. But to me, just in my limited experience, I would think that guys with a skinnier upper body are more likely to add weight up top than the opposite. But you remember, look, 2 years ago, we had a kid down here, Teron Armstead, who, look, he was skinny all over, but definitely one of those undersized. He was around that range of 6'5", 290 pounds. Some people thought he could be a guard, and he's the Saints' starting left tackle. Was a second-round pick. He's played at a pretty high level for New Orleans since he's been drafted.
Yeah, Miller's probably my favorite tackle of the guys here at the Shrine Game so far.
I would agree. And Miller was a guy that I liked. You know, you saw that athleticism and that aggressiveness. Look, he gets after it in the run game, too. He's not going to back down from anybody. I like the way Miller plays, and he's been impressive so far. By the way, I want to throw in, I didn't talk about it on my list, but for Xavier Williams, when I did bring him over to you after the way we do the unofficial visits, Bo will be ready at the camera, and I'll go and I'll grab a guy and I'll bring him over, reel some of these guys in and bring him over to talk to Bo. And when Bo saw that we had Xavier Williams, his eyes lit up. It was like Christmas morning. So a little peek behind the curtain there for Bo and his draft crush.
I do not disagree with that.
All right, so number one, and again, I'm not going to put these in any order. This was just the first guy that came to mind. But that's David Parry from Stanford. 6'2", 305 pounds, was a standout day one.
Yes, Middlebury goal.
As Bo,
overtime goal.
As Bo multitasks here. Watching a college hockey game.
Shout out to Middlebury.
There we go.
Overtime victory over Utica. Elizabeth Wolf.
It's huge. There we go.
Headline, Utica clubbed.
That's good. That's a good headline in the Wolf household.
All right. Sorry to break it up. Right.
So David Parry. From the jump, Parry was very impressive down here. I hadn't really gotten to watch him too much. That Stanford defense, while it does have a number of prospects here, I just couldn't get through all of them. They've got a couple more at the Senior Bowl next week that I really do like, so I'll be interested to see those guys next week. But Parry was a guy I didn't really study in full, but he's been very impressive from day one on. Very stout nose tackle, has done a good job getting penetration in the one-on-one periods, has done a good job on the inside run periods of holding up at the point of attack. Parry's been very impressive so far.
Yeah, Tony's been a favorite of Tony Pauline's. He was very good yesterday. On Monday as well. All right, my number two guy as we transition from the win for the Middlebury women's hockey team, Memphis safety Fritz Etienne. And this is there's a few things I like about Fritz Etienne. He's a safety from Memphis. That's first of all. Before we get to his playing
style. Is that what you like about him?
Well, maybe. What I like about him before we even get to his ability as a player is that he gives me this year's potential Laurent Davernito Diff.
That's
opportunity
true.
To give out a French dirty accent.
Who is your French
Fritz Etienne.
Who is your French French teacher in high school?
Oh, Madame Cher.
There you go, Madame Cher. That's right.
Whose armpit hair we saw more than we bargained for as middle schoolers. But anyway, Fritz Etienne, Memphis safety, 6'2", 210. Didn't watch him on tape, obviously, coming in. But he's been impressive. And one of the things that I like about what we've seen this week is more than even at the Senior Bowl in years past, I think, we're getting a lot of the wide receiver DB one-on-ones, but it's not just corners. The safeties are getting put out there on an island in those one-on-ones. And two guys, to me, have stood out in their ability to cover there. Etienne is one of them. I like what I've seen from him. And we talked to him after practice today, too. He describes himself more as a heavy hitter than he does as a coverage guy, so maybe he's got some of that versatility.
And when you asked him what position you wanted to describe him as a corner or safety, he said a defensive back. So the versatility is very important to him, too. Etienne was on my list as well, so we both double-dipped there. Etienne has been very impressive. I haven't gotten a chance to watch him on tape. I watched his teammate, Martin Effetti, who I do kind of like a little bit as a versatile guy. I'll be really interested to see what scheme he ultimately ends up in because I think he's one of those players that could develop as a 4-3 defensive end or a 3-4 outside linebacker, possibly even as a defensive lineman in a 3-4. So he's got one of those bodies that can develop into a number of different positions. But back to Etienne, really versatile guy, really has stood out, like you said, in the one-on-one periods. Versatile, has shown the ability to go up against smaller receivers and bigger receivers and win. So Etienne is definitely a guy that stood out to me as someone that I didn't really know too much about coming into the week.
All right, my number three guy is the other safety who I've been impressed with in his coverage ability, Corey Cooper from Nebraska, from a bigger program. I would assume that you were a little bit more aware of him coming in than I was, Fran, but he's also pretty big, 6'1", 214. He seems to me to have that sort of versatility as well.
Yeah, no question about it. He's a versatile guy who's done a good job this week, like you said. I don't know that I've focused on him as much, unfortunately, as we've been bouncing around here, but Cooper's
it's
a guy.
Tough. It's tough to see everything.
It's exactly, no especially when we're trying to film as many guys as possible. So, Cooper, from what I've seen, has done a good job. The next guy I want to talk about, and a guy, unfortunately, that I didn't get a chance to watch coming down, and I believe he was Josh Norris's favorite defensive player coming into the week. I was, talking with Josh in the days leading up, and that's Deontrez Mount from Louisville, outside pass rusher, 6'5", 245 pounds, played in the sub packages for the Cardinals this year. Just has been very impressive just physically looking at him this year, or this week rather. In one-on-one drills, you can kind of see the ability to rush the passer. You kind of see the frame that he has, and you know, he can add to that and hold up at the point of attack. I don't know that he's going to be a space player at the next level, so he may be more of a 4-3 DN than a potential 3-4 outside linebacker. But I think he's got the athleticism to potentially develop into something down the road.
All right, my number four player is another one who Tony mentioned earlier when talking about the winners of the day, but that's Northern Illinois wide receiver Dayron Brown, who I knew nothing about because he was a late add. I didn't even have a printout of his college bio to go off, so I know nothing about him as a human being, but as a player, he's been impressive. Very sharp in his route running. He's made some defensive backs slip all over that slippery field.
I agree. He almost made my list, and he was a guy, like you said, he wasn't on the list coming into the week, so I hadn't watched him. He's been very, very impressive, so that's a good one on your list.
Dayron Brown, by the way, 6'1", 196 is his official listing.
Well, I'm gonna raise you a receiver. The one guy, and I obviously we all knew a little bit about this guy, but as a receiver, there were a lot of questions coming into the week. That's Michigan wideout, you know, former quarterback Devin Gardner, 6'4", 215 pounds. Kids rocked up. He showed up at on the first day on Monday for practice, and really, I was very surprised by his ability to separate. Obviously, he's had some drops. The guy played receiver early in his career, has made the transition back from quarterback, and you know that he can handle all the different route combinations. We've talked with people, away from the field of play, different analysts around the league, and really they've been very impressed with Gardner and how he's been able to comprehend all the different route concepts and different things that the receivers coach on the East squad is giving him, whereas some of the other guys maybe coming from different kinds of offenses are struggling there. And Gardner, look, he's been very, very impressive, and he's got the body to be an NFL receiver.
All right, well, you raised my receiver. I will re-raise you back another receiver.
Here we go.
South Florida's Andre Davis.
Interesting.
Andre Davis going 6'2", 210. He also has been impressive to me in those one-on-one drills. He's made a few really nice contested catches down the field that have stood out to me, and he's also done well in his route running in the intermediate routes, working himself open. I've been impressed with him.
The one guy that stood out to me in one-on-one drills this morning at the East practice was Georgia Tech linebacker Quayshon Neely. In the pass rush drills, he did a really, really good job of winning against the tight ends and the running backs. I thought he did a good job in coverage. We know he's one of those slighter linebackers.
He's
6', 235 pounds. He's a weak side backer.
He's not 6'.
Yeah,
no,
he's
chance.
Probably not 6'. But look, Michael Kendricks isn't exactly the tallest guy either. Height may not be the biggest thing when you're looking at those weak side backers. He's definitely got the aggressiveness. I like his play temperament. He's really, he's brought an intensity to practice. He shows that he's coachable, because I actually followed that position going from their individual period over to the one-on-one period, and he really took the coaching that the position coach was giving to him. I really liked what I saw from Quayshon Neely today at practice.
All right, my last guy, and we made a little pact here that we couldn't double up from guys we talked about yesterday.
Right.
That was part of it. So digging a little bit deeper in the barrel for me, Tennessee Chattanooga defensive tackle Derek Lott, L-O-T-T, 6'4", 298. He has been, I think, the best interior defense, the most disruptive interior defensive lineman on the East team. He's been strong at the point of attack. He's, I can't tell you too much, but I've been impressed with him.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree there.
Maybe I'm overshadowing Darius Kilgo because he's done well.
That's it. Although we have watched, we watched a little bit of Kilgo as well, and we both liked him. So, it's not a bad pick there. I'm gonna wrap it up here.
What do you disagree with? You don't like Lott? Is that
no? Lott, I think, has done well, and he's one of the guys that. That defensive line coach is coaching up really, really hard, and he's taking to that coaching. So, take that for what you will.
He's also overshadowed in college because they have this guy, Davis Tull, who was supposed to be here. He's injured. He had all these sacks in college, but I think Lott's got a better chance at the next level.
Yeah, Lott has shown well today, or this week. So, really like what we've seen from him. Ben Heaney, the linebacker from Kansas, is a guy I wanted to bring up. 6'1", 228 pounds. So, obviously, you want to see him add some weight before he gets to the NFL. But very, very instinctive linebacker, a guy that I unfortunately didn't get the chance to watch. But everything I've heard about the guy, fast flow, instinctive, able to key and diagnose plays, isn't the greatest athlete in the world, but just ferocious, really aggressive kid, plays downhill, made a number of really instinctive plays in the inside run period that I watched this afternoon, where he was able to quickly diagnose, avoid some blockers and make a play in the backfield outside the numbers. Really just a very impressive guy overall. I'm excited to watch more.
All right. Well, this may be just the second edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA in 2015, but we are still very, very seasoned here as we lay out the show. It's time now for another unofficial visit. We already teased it. Memphis safety, Fritz Etienne.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we're here with Memphis safety Fritz Etienne. And is it all right if I call you a safety, or do you prefer defensive back, versatile? What do you prefer?
Versatile. Call me a defensive back there.
Okay, because we've seen today and throughout the week the safeties being matched up one-on-one with receivers and one-on-one drills. Do you feel like you've sort of proven you can hang in that capacity?
Yes, but there's a lot more things I can do to get better. I got to work on a lot of footwork drills, hand placement, things like that. But I'm doing well right now.
For fans who have never seen you play before, give us the scouting report. What does Fritz Etienne do well? What does he need to work on?
Fritz Etienne hits hard. I'll say that. Fritz Etienne hits hard. He covered good. He can work on a little bit of things. We're not going to talk about that right now, but he can work on a couple more things. But we're just trying to get better every day and just make things work.
For safeties in today's NFL, obviously versatility is such a big deal. You feel like you play the run and the pass equally well?
Yes, I can play both. I can come up and make good tackles. I can play the passes. I can play man-to-man. I can disrupt some passes. Do a lot of things on the field.
Anybody in the NFL who you sort of pattern yourself after think you have a similar game to?
Legion of Doom, man. Legion of Boom. I mean, I like Earl Thomas and I like Cam Chancellor. Just them two.
Which one? Which one of the two do you like better?
Cam. Chancellor okay. All day.
That's a good one now.
You can't forget about Brian Dawkins either.
All right, now, see, now you know how to play the game. Now you know how to play the game. We like to ask everybody, best player you played this season?
Laquan Treadwell and Brett Hundley. Them two right there was outstanding players.
Okay, and then any expectations for the combine, the draft, for where numbers you're going to put up, where you think you're going to fall on, or anything like that?
I'm just trying to perform well and just live up to my expectations for me and my family and just do as good as I can. I really don't have any expectations right now.
And then the last thing, what's this week been like having a bunch of Memphis guys with you? You know, Bobby McCain in the background, sir. In the backfield with you too, Martin Effetti. What's that been like?
It's been good. You know, we've been working with each other since 2012, so it's like second nature to us. We just come out, practice, talk to each other, tell each other what we got to do to help each other get better. It's good. We got people from Sam Carter from TCU, he helped me. Corey Cooper from Nebraska, we all talk and just help each other out. So it's all love right now.
On the clock.
All right, another nice bumper there, debuting the On the Clock segment, wherein we will play some sort of game throughout the season. It could be a would you rather, an over-under, and it will be over-under today. Shrine game focus, Fran. I've put together some Shrine game over-unders for you. Let's see what you think.
I haven't heard these yet, so I'm excited to hear these. Let's go.
All right. First one, quarterbacks from this Shrine game. Who will be drafted? Over under 1.5.
I'm gonna take the over just because.
Wow.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm gonna guess that one of these guys gets drafted, in some fashion. But it's not pretty. Let's just put it that way. It's not a great quarterback class overall. I got to think that one of these guys will get drafted.
All right, the six quarterbacks, for those who don't know, Anthony Boone from Duke, Taylor Heineke from Old Dominion, Hudson Mason from Georgia, Cody Fajardo from Nevada, Taylor Kelly from Arizona State, and Dylan Thompson from South Carolina. I'm guessing you would say either Fajardo or Heineke would be the one who
got the
best chance.
I think Heineke has been the most impressive this week. He's definitely got the one that's shown a little bit more zip on his arm than some of these other guys. So I would say Heineke is the guy that would stand out the most to me.
Last year, two Shrine Game quarterbacks drafted, including Jimmy Garoppolo, as high as the second round. Keith Wenning from Ball State went later on. All right, you talked about him before, so I'm going to test you here, Fran. I'm going to go over under 1.5 chances for you to spell correctly Deontrez Mount.
Oh.
Don't look. You cannot look.
I'm not looking. I don't even have it written down here. All right. Deontrez Mount, 1.5 chances?
Yes.
All right, so you guys can play along now. This is a guy that, an edge rusher from Louisville. I believe he's 6'5", 235 pounds. Deontrez Mount, DEIOUNTREZMOUNT.
Incorrect. Here comes chance number two.
Deontrez Mount. D-E-I-O-N-T-R-E-Z. M-O-U-N-T.
That is correct.
There it
is. Well done.
Know
you.
Yeah, there we go.
Good work, Fran.
Thank you.
Nice job.
All right, I'll take it.
All right, our third over-under.
We're going to have to do this again next week when we have Omagwe Odigizua.
Oh, yeah.
I might get that in the first try, but we'll wait till next week to do that.
Well, you love him as a player. So.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Number three, Tywan Jones, the Michigan State linebacker,
okay,
who we both like a lot.
Yes.
Over-under, pick number 100 in the NFL
draft.
So
that's roughly the end of the third round.
Correct.
Roughly. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under just because, like I said yesterday, I think this linebacker class is pretty strong. I don't know that he's
– So under you mean later?
Later, correct. I'm sorry. Okay. So I guess it would be the over. He'll be over pick 100. I think this is a strong linebacker class. I think he is a good player. I don't know that he's a day one or day two pick.
Maybe we'll delve into this later in the week as we preview the Shrine game later. But do you believe that he will be the first player selected from this Shrine game?
We do this every year. I'm going to have to take a look at this and say he's definitely one of the top five players here. Whether or not he's one of the top player drafted
by
slot,
we'll see.
Yeah,
look at the relative strength of the positions.
That's the thing. So we'll take a look and see whether or not he's the top player drafted. I think he's definitely one of the top five players in attendance.
All right. Moving on. Our next over-under. William & Mary wide receiver Trey McBride, who you are a fan of.
Big fan. Yep.
Over under 599 career receiving yards in the NFL for Trey McBride.
Over under 599 career receiving
Basically,
yards.
Basically, will he have a career?
I think he's going to have a career. I think he's going to have a career.
599.
Yeah, 599. You know, but that's 600 career receiving yards. You got to think that's even three, backup.
But think about all the six round picks: Marvin McNutt,
sure,
B.J. Cunningham. Those guys don't have 600 receiving yards.
I think Trey McBride's going to make it. I think that he can find a niche. Now, he is a little smaller in person than I thought he would be after watching him. But I really like watching this kid on tape. You watch him earlier in the season. I'm trying to remember the first game that I watched him against. But just really a very impressive kid. Like I said, especially getting downfield and winning some of those one-on-one catches down the field in the air and going up and fighting for it. A contested catch guy. Really like the way that he plays the game.
All right, our next over-under. Players currently here at the Shrine game who will go to the combine and run a sub 4.42 40-yard dash. Over-under 1.5.
Sub 4.42.
Yes.
I'm going to go under. I don't know if there's any kind of any guys like that.
I don't see
kind of
any guys with that big speed here.
Last year
there's
we had
no John
Brown here. Yeah, last year John Brown was here, and you could see even though he was on the smaller end, and I don't think any of us thought that he was going to be a mid third round pick and come in and have the kind of season that he had. But you knew that look, this kid's got some juice in his legs. I don't know that there's any kind of juice in from that respect. Look, I think that Trey McBride can run 4.48, maybe in the low 4.5s. And he's a vertical threat. I think Deion Long is probably in the same, in the same realm.
Who do you think will run the fastest
40-yard
dash from this group of players? Oof. It's obviously going to be a wide receiver or a running back or a corner.
Or a corner.
Deion Long is in the mix. Could Devin Gardner be in the mix?
I don't think so.
Trey McBride, you said.
Trey McBride.
Terrence McGee, Dominique Brown.
No.
Ty Smith.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I don't think there's any of those really, explosive talents here at this draft in terms of at this game in terms of long speed.
Certainly not Zachary Zenner.
No, I know that's your favorite guy, but I don't think he's running in the low 4.4s either.
Yeah, I think maybe I should have made that on over under 1.5 instead of 1.5, but oh well.
Yeah, we're going to take the under.
All right, our last one.
Something tells me I'm going to win that one.
Botched snaps in the game on Saturday on special teams.
I haven't noticed as many this year. Have you?
Well, here's the thing about the Shrine game is they don't bring in long snappers.
Right. So they're usually looking for snappers early in the week.
There's also a moment on Monday when I saw one of the coaches frantically running over to the quarterbacks in the corner asking them, have any of you guys ever held before?
Yeah.
Because they needed a holder.
So botched snaps could be an issue.
2.5.
Oof, that's high. That's really disrespectful, Bo. I'm gonna go under.
It doesn't mean the kick's not gonna get off.
Right.
But bad snaps.
Are you gonna go track this? Are you gonna watch the full game and
I'm
record
definitely
the
gonna watch
snaps?
The full game.
All right. I want a full report Monday. I'm gonna take the under. I'll trust the coaching. Coaching's gonna get it done.
Okay, I like that. Jim Zorn and Mike Singletary on the case as the coaches here at the Shrine Game,
as well as former Eagles offensive line coach Howard Mudd.
That's right. We haven't even talked about that. It's been fun to watch Howard getting back at it with the West team. One of my favorites, Kansas State inside linebacker B.J. Finney getting coached up by Howard Mudd. All right, it's time for the final part of the show, the draft mailbag. Fran solicited some questions on Twitter. Let's see what we have here.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, first one, Eagles fan talk. Fran, Bryce Petty, the Baylor quarterback, do you like him in the Eagles system? Is he a realistic second or third round target for the Eagles?
Eagles system is a tough one to answer. I mean, I don't know that we talked about it yesterday. None of us really know exactly what they're looking for at each position, especially a quarterback. I mean, that's a deep question. A lot of off the field stuff that we're not privy to in terms of how they are in the classroom and at the board and things like that. So, you know, whether or not there's an Eagle system, I don't know. But watching Bryce Petty, I don't think that he's a guy that you're going to bring in the first or second round and have him be the short term or long term answer for your team as a starting quarterback. That's just that, you know, that's my opinion. I may be wrong, but.
Don't be petty.
That's my thing. I don't know if he's a guy that you're going to rely on and say, okay, this guy's going to come in and he's going to be our quarterback of the future.
All right. Next question comes from Anders Janssen. He wants to know, love to hear your thoughts, Fran, on Quentin Rollins. That's the Miami, Ohio cornerback who will be at the Senior Bowl.
Fascinating, fascinating player. A toolsy prospect who's got everything you want at, you know, for a press corner, has the size, has the athleticism, has the length. You know, has the temperament, will go up and hit you in the run game. Here's the thing. He's only played 1 year of college football. He played in high school, but when he went to Miami, Ohio, he played for the Redhawks basketball team for 4 years as their starting point guard, was a starter for 4 years, and then decided, hey, I'm not going to make it in the NBA. I'm only 6'1". I'm going to go play football. Was a starter at boundary corner for them all throughout his senior season. So very interesting guy who was not on the radar for anybody going into the year and is very much so now. I think he'll be one of the most interesting press corners to watch next week at the Senior Bowl.
When it comes to a player like this who doesn't have that long track record of playing, and it's a little different than a Blake Bell or a Devin Gardner who's switching positions, but do you view that as you think that he's going to be able to get coached up and get a lot better, or do you think – does he love the game? Is it a net negative or a net positive for you?
Well, that's
discounting age, because you know how I feel about age.
I know how you feel about age.
Quentin Rollins is not overage.
No, he's not. But here's the thing. On the outside, it's really kind of a crapshoot. We don't know because we haven't. We'll talk to him next week, hopefully. But we haven't met with the kid. We haven't done all the background work. I think that when teams on the inside and the scouts and GMs, the decision makers, the coaches will get all of that information in terms of, okay, what's the kid like? Does he have the work ethic? Is he coachable? How is he with his coaches and teammates? And then they'll kind of get an idea of whether or not this kid will be able to get better. Because then we'll kind of see when he gets drafted. Look, if this kid gets drafted in the second round, obviously, whoever the team is that's drafting him has an idea of what he is as a person and that he's going to get better than what we saw this year. And look, what we saw this year, while there were some downs, there were a lot of ups. There were a lot of really good plays from that kid in his first season playing college football. I'll be really interested to see how he does next year next week in a very high level of competition.
And it's not like he was going out fighting fires or anything like that. He was playing sports. He was playing. He's an athlete. This is a guy who likes to compete.
Exactly. And you really like, look, as a corner, you know, former point guard transitioning to the cornerback position, the very first time I watched him, he came down and he hit somebody in the run game in the first five plays. And I was like, whoa, okay, this kid, you know, he's here to play football. He's not just now. We had a couple of these guys last year. Dimitri Goodson out of Baylor, who I believe ended up going in the fifth round. He bounced around from practice squad to practice squad this year. I don't think that's the case with this kid. I think this kid's going to stick on a roster. He could get drafted pretty high depending on how his background checks out.
All right, our next Twitter question comes from PA's Finest. He's going to ask about one of Fran's favorite players in this draft, somebody who won the Natty, won the national championship last night. I think Devin Smith of Ohio State is highly underappreciated and would fill the D-Jack's old spot quite nicely and special teams ace. Thoughts?
Well, Devin Smith was initially announced as a Shrine Game attendee, and he immediately was the guy that I would have put as my number one prospect in this game because he actually stood out to me as a sophomore. I remember they played it was a game against Miami, Ohio. I was watching the game because Zach Dysart was in the game, and I really like Zach Dysart.
Favorite.
Yeah, Zach Dysart ended up going to the Broncos, who he might end up playing soon. Who knows? But look, this kid has unbelievable speed. I mean, he's when you talked about that 4.43 speed, Devin Smith's got legit 4.3. We'll say 4.35, 4.37, 4.39 speed. And I'm really excited to see how he runs at the combine. Just a vertical route monster. I really like a lot of the things that he does downfield. He goes up and attacks the ball really,
really
well.
That's the other thing. He's not just running by people. He's making contested catches down the field.
He goes up and gets it. And, you know, I had the chance actually to work with their receiver coach for a few months at Ohio State. He worked at Temple for the last year that I was there. And I know that that's one of the things he preaches. And one of the other things he preaches, make an impact on special teams, which he does. Smith plays under kickoff coverage units. He plays as a gunner. He has some return experience as well. So he brings that facet of his game. And look, he's also a good blocker. And I know that's one of the things that Zach Smith, the coach there, really preaches as well. A very versatile guy. I'm really interested to see how high he ends up getting drafted because he doesn't have the production that you may want from one of these high-end kids because they've got – look, they like to run the ball, as we saw in the national championship game. They like to run the ball. And they've got a number of different targets that they've spread it around.
Yeah, they rotate their receivers.
Very, very much so.
All right, our final draft mailbag question comes to us from, first of all, Fran sent me the way that he gave me these tweets is that he sent me a screenshot of his phone, of his Twitter. You were at 6% battery. What were you doing?
Look, it was a long day, man. We were out of practice for all day. So it's on the charger now.
You're roaming, too.
I might be roaming.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Wasting battery, wasting minutes. All
first
right.
World problems.
All right. Last question comes to us from Ben Wolf, spelled the incorrect way, W-O-L-F-E, at Philly Sports
Derek Wolf.
For the win. Like Derek Wolf, correct. Any possible realistic Mariota to the Eagles situations? Talking about Marcus Mariota, the Oregon quarterback. I'll answer this one, Fran. The only scenario in which the Eagles could get Marcus Mariota is if he declares for the draft, which he has not done
yet.
For now, we can't really say anything else.
No. Well, I mean, look, he hasn't declared. So, and it's – I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to come out. Like, that's why everyone's been saying, he's going to be in the draft, He very well could go back to school. So until he declares, there's no use in really talking about it. We've got a few days here to find out.
If he does end up declaring, we will certainly talk about him later on here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. Presented by AAA, that will do it for episode number 2 from the Shrine Game here in 2015. We will be back on Thursday, maybe Friday morning. We will preview the Shrine Game itself, preview the Senior Bowl. Lots of good stuff to come here. Make sure you stay tuned to PhiladelphiaEagles.com throughout the week, though. Plenty of practice highlights, play-by-play videos, prospect interviews, roundups with Tony Pauline, guys like Josh Norris, Charles Davis from NFL Network talking Eagles this weekend. We'll have all that good stuff coming your way. So make sure you pay attention to that on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. For Fran Duffy, I'm Bo Wolf. We will see you later on.